Hallelujah. And if you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus, then I encourage you today to let Pastor put you down in the water according to the Bible, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Baptism is representative of the death, burial, and the resurrection. And since it's Jesus who died, Jesus who was buried, and Jesus who was resurrected, it stands to reason that the Bible says when you're baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. And if you're wondering right now, well, I'm not sure if it was Jesus' name. Maybe it was another way. Then you probably weren't baptized in the name of Jesus. I've never met anybody that went down in that name that has ever, 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 ever forgotten or doubted or wondered about the name they were baptized in. And I want to tell you something else. It'll be one of the greatest experiences you've ever had in all of your life. Because when you come out of the water in the name of Jesus, your past is washed away. Your burdens are taken away. The weight of sin is brought out of your life. And God resurrects you in His power and in His love. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Revelations chapter 5 and verse, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And so we welcome everyone here today. We are so grateful that you have come. We pray that you have already been blessed. Wasn't the choir awesome? Did they not do a wonderful job? Amen. And hands of praise, it would have took me 3 weeks to preach the message that they sung in 2 minutes. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hands of praise, thank you. What a wonderful job. And all of our hard workers, all of our musicians, we thank you so much for all of your work, our laborers. Revelations 5 and 1. John the Revelator is on the Isle of Patmos at this time. And he is delivering, according to Revelations chapter 1 in the first few verses, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse number 5. I'm sorry, I started with verse 1 and y'all probably all confused. I'm now where you are. Verse 5. Just takes a preacher a long time to get where you've been waiting. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. And everybody say, behold the lion. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. John responds in verse number 6. And he says, and I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Everybody say a lamb. As it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth and to all of the earth. The elders proclaimed in verse 5, "Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah." But when John turned to see the lion, the Bible tells us he saw nothing but a lamb. A lamb as though it had been slain. Friend, that is not a very pretty picture. A lamb that has been slain, its throat cut open, blood all over its wool. It's not a pretty sight. But what I want to talk to us here today for a few minutes is on the subject, looking for a lion, but finding a lamb. Tell your neighbor, if you've come looking for a lion, in this place today, there is only a lamb. Put your Bibles down, if you will, and let's give God praise. Let's magnify his name. Come on, a little more than that. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's here to bless you. He's here to help you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. From the beginning of time, man has known God as a God of power, as a God of vengeance upon the wicked. Man has known him as a God that judges and a God that curses and comes against ungodliness. Man had it seldom seen their God as a merciful and loving God. We start out in the Garden of Eden. There, Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden fruit. We know the story. God comes down, speaks to Adam and to Eve, and he says, "What have you done? How have you partaken of this forbidden fruit? I told you in the day that you did it, you would surely die, but you've done it anyhow." And out from the midst of the garden walks an angel with a flaming sword on both sides, a dual-edged sword. And God takes Adam and Eve and he thrusts them out of his presence. He thrusts them out of the garden, and he placed at the entrance of the garden this angel that would guard and make sure they never entered in again. Time passes on. The Bible says that man becomes so sinful that they become as a stench in the nostrils of God. And so we go from Eden to the flood. And now we see a God instructing a man by the name of Noah, who found grace in the eyes of God, to build an ark wherein he and his family would be saved. And upon that ark, yet just a few souls, and the wrath of God comes down upon the sin of man. After the ark lands and population begins again, we see God visiting man at the Tower of Babel. There again, his wrath and his judgment falls as he scatters the people throughout the earth, and as he gives them different languages so that they would separate from one another. But it doesn't end there. We watch him visit his children in Egypt after 430 years of bondage, and the wrath of God begins to fall. The plagues, one after another, and finally they end with the death of the firstborn of every Egyptian alive. But it doesn't stop there. Then we see him at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Gomorrah. The sin comes up before God. He goes and visits them, and he says, I am going to destroy this city. And Lot and his children escape by the skin of their teeth. Yes, friend, when we look into the Bible, we see this God, this messianic prophecy, the prophecy of the Messiah coming. And we see the verses that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests and the Levites seem to have cleaved to. Genesis 3 and 15, the Bible says the Messiah would bruise the head of Satan. Genesis 49 and 9, that he would come as a lion and as a lawgiver. Deuteronomy calls him a prophet. Psalm says he's going to come as a king, as a rod of iron, and that he hates weaknesses, wickedness, and he shall make his enemies as his footstools. Daniel says he's going to break into pieces the kingdoms of the earth. Isaiah said he's going to bring down every mountain which is his enemies. Jeremiah said he's a God that's going to bring justice. Micah said he's a God that's going to come as a ruler. This fearsome side of God is all they ever knew. They never knew anything else about his God. In Deuteronomy 28, the word says, if you break my law, I will curse your city. I will curse your field. I will curse your basket. I will curse your body. I will curse your coming ins and your going out. The word of God says, I'll send pestilences. I'll consume you with a fever. I'll send inflammation. I'll kill you by the sword. I'll shut up heaven as brass. I'll smite you as I did your enemies. You shall not prosper. You'll be stoned, famine, and exiled. This is the God that they knew. No wonder when the Messiah came, no wonder when they believed his coming was here, they were looking for a ruler. They were looking for a man with a mighty hand. They were looking for somebody that would crush Rome and uplift Israel. They were looking for a God that would drive out their enemies, yet protect and bless them. This was the God they knew. Clap your hands, please, to the Lord. So no wonder when John was preaching in Matthew chapter 3 in verse 11, and he was talking about the Messiah. This is John the Baptist, not John the Revelator. And John the Baptist said in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose hand is in his hand, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the corner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then verse 13 says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized by him. But look at John 1:29, the same story by a different writer. Jesus steps out of the wilderness. He's walking towards John. Here comes the lion. Here comes the conqueror. Here comes the mighty king. Here comes the one with the fan in his hand. Here comes the purger. Woo! But look at verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and says, behold the king, behold the ruler, behold the conqueror, behold the judger, behold the condemner. No. No, 1,000 times no. When John turned, expecting to see this mighty Messiah, when the eyes of Jesus caught his eyes, he realized, my God had not come to condemn. My God has not come to judge. My God has not come to conquer or defeat or destroy. But John turned and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Woo! Notice this awesome mentality of God in Matthew 3:11-13. Fire, fan in the hand, purger, burn up the shaft. But when Jesus walked into his presence, everything changed. I'm here to preach today. If you've come looking for someone that's going to judge you, someone that's going to condemn you, someone that's going to divide you, someone that's going to come and cast you out, you've come to the wrong place. That one's not here today, but here today is the Lamb of God who died for your sin. I've got good news for you. Jesus died for you while you was yet a sinner, when you were still drinking, when you were still fornicating, when you were still gambling, when you were still lying, when you were still cussing. He was on the cross shedding his blood, loving you, caring for you. And he's walked into this place today, not with judgment, but with love and passion and mercy and goodness. You see, John quickly realized that there was another part to this Messiah, and that you could go back into the prophecies and not only see that he was going to be a conqueror and a judger of sin and a condemner of the wicked, but there was more to him than that. You see, Genesis 12:3 says he was going to be the seed of Abraham that would bless the world. David said, Psalms 118, that he, the day of the coming of the Messiah has made me glad. Isaiah 9:2 said he would be a great light to a people that are in darkness. Isaiah 9:6 said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. You see, John found out that day there's another side to the Messiah that's coming. Isaiah 25:8. I've got to read this. He will swallow up death in victory. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke, and the rebuke of his people he shall take away from off all the earth. The Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. I've come to tell you today, there's no lion in the house. There's a lamb here. A lamb that'll love you. A lamb that'll touch you. A lamb that'll help you. A lamb that'll cleanse you.
I wish I could get our wonderful people to understand today that this is not a religion. This is an experience. This isn't just a place to go to fulfill your Easter obligation. No, not today. Today you're feeling something. Today something's calling you. Today something different. Oh, you felt it before because God's called you on other times. But today it's stronger. Today it's tugging. Today it's pulling. When you thought you were going to be condemned because of your sin, because of your unrighteousness, because of your unfaithfulness. Instead, God wrapped his arms around you. He pulled you in tight. He said, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. I died for you. You're everything to me. Come and let me love you. Looking for a lion, but finding a lamb. Isaiah 11 and 16 said, he's going to be a highway for the remnant. That means he's going to become a way of escape for those who saw no escape at all. For those who saw no hope. For those who saw no light. For those who saw no way out. For those who had no strength, have no courage, have nothing in you, your spirit is dead. God says, I am your way out. Moving along, Isaiah 42 and 6. I, the Lord, hath called thee in righteousness. And what? He's going to do what? That doesn't sound like a judger to me. That doesn't sound like a condemner to me. That doesn't sound like somebody that's come to point out my sins and point out my weaknesses and point out my failures and expose my hidden secrets to everybody that's around me and to tell everyone that what a bad boy I've been. Oh no, he showed up today to hold your hand. He's come to hold your hand. That's like me walking up to you, Brother Patrick, and knowing everything about you. Ever since you was a little boy, every lie you ever told, every cookie you ever stole, everything you've ever done that wasn't right. Oh, yeah, I watched you when you thought nobody was watching you. That's what God says. I heard you when you thought nobody was hearing you. I know the thoughts that nobody else can know. And he's got the right. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He could come here today and he could point them all out. And he could condemn. And he could cast you out. But instead, he said, I've come to hold your hand. Woo! How the Lord hath called thee into righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep thee. I will give a covenant of the people for a light unto the Gentiles. I've got good news for everybody here today. The Lamb is in the house. The Forgiver is in the house. The Blesser is in the house. The Healer is in the house. The Helper is in the house. Oh, I wish somebody would get a hold of this. I wish you'd get a hold of this. Because you see, my friend, I know the devil. And he knows me. Why, me and him used to be good buddies. Thank God for Jesus. I broke up my love affair with the devil and started another one with Jesus Christ. But I know the devil. The devil is the condemner.
You know what the devil will do? He'll tempt you. And when he gets you to do it, he'll get on the other side and condemn you for it. He'll push you into it. Then he comes over here and says, ha, 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 ha. You're worthless. You're a piece of trash. Nobody loves you. You don't deserve your wife or your husband. You don't deserve your children. You don't deserve anything. You know what's wrong with you. Let me tell you something, friend. So does Jesus Christ. But he's come here today to touch your heart and to take that pain out of your heart and to pick you up off of your seat. I wish you could get a hold of this. He has not come to condemn you. I don't care what other people say about you. I don't care what the self-righteous say. I don't care what the indignant say. I don't care what the pious say. I'm here to tell you what God says. God says, I love you just like you are. Worship him for a moment. Give him praise for a moment. I'm talking about the other side of the Messiah. The side that you and I have the right to experience. 49 and 6 says, he's salvation to the ends of the world. Isaiah 61 and 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord hath come upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to do what? To preach good tidings. Tell your neighbor, he's come to preach good tidings to you. Jesus is here to tell you, I can help you. He's here to tell you, I can fix it. He's here to tell you, I can make it right. He's here to tell you, it's not over. He's here to tell you, get suicide out of your mind. There's a God that loves you and a church that'll love you. And God will restore relationships. He'll fix the things that you've done wrong. Come on now. Hey, and you say, but I tried to quit, but I can't. God will help you quit. God will give you strength. But until then, he just wants to love you. Until then, he wants to bless you. Until then, he wants to help you. Because he's not the lion today, he's the lamb. He's the lamb. Just a few more minutes of your time. It's only 12:30. So I don't know what you've heard about this God of mine. No telling what they told you, especially concerning Pentecost. You know, it's no secret that we live different than most Christians. I'm not going to get on all of that. It's not what I'm going to talk about. But it's not a secret. If you know a Pentecost or an apostolic, maybe it'd be a better word. Pentecost is pretty broad, but apostolic narrows it. If you know someone who follows the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the apostles, that's what an apostolic means, then you're going to find that their lifestyle is different. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They do their best not to cuss. That can be hard sometimes. We don't go to places where we know sin prevails. We try to dress ourselves decent and holy so that we are not causing the opposite sex to lust over our bodies. We present ourselves in attitude of mind and spirit in the best loving and Christian way that we can. There's no doubt about it that apostolics are different. But friend, Jesus isn't here to turn you into an apostolic. He's here to deliver you out of your bondage. So I don't know what you may have heard, but I can tell you this. Put it all aside because none of it matters.
We're not here to tell you what you can or you cannot do. It's not our job. It's not even something we want to do. We're here to tell you about the love of Jesus Christ and that he can help you where you are in the middle, in the midst of your mess. Jesus Christ will come right there and he will bless you and he will help you. Because he loves you. And if we're not careful and we're looking for the God of the can'ts, we will miss the God of the cans. And if you are looking for what you have to give up, you're going to miss what you can get. Whew. I promise you today, friend, that if you will look him in the eyes, he will reach out and take your hand, and you will feel more love than you have ever felt in all of your life. It will overwhelm you. It will break down every barrier of religion, every barrier of tradition. It will crush every power of sin and lust. And all you will feel flowing through you is the power of the love of God. And oh, how wonderful it feels. Anybody here? Can you feel him right now? Can you feel that love right now? What a mighty God. In this place, and I'm going to come to a close shortly, you will not find a lion of cans and don'ts, but a lamb of cans and wills. You will not find a lion of bondage, but a lamb of liberty. There is not a line of wrath in the house today, but a lamb of mercy. You see, it's a dangerous thing to look for a lion because you just might miss the lamb. Satan has you looking around, fearing the lion, the wrath, the judgment of God. And in your mind, you said, I shouldn't even be in church today. I don't deserve to be here today. Sir, ma'am, you're the very one who does. You know who gets the front row seats in God's kingdom? The biggest, baddest, meanest, dirtiest, rotten, low-down sinners. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the one because the 99 are safe in his blood. But you need to be under the blood of Jesus. Because if you don't get under the blood of Jesus, it's not the lion of the tribe of Judah you got to worry about. It's that roaring lion who seeketh whom he may devour. That's the lion you need to worry about. But if you'll get under the blood of Jesus Christ, how do I do that, preacher? By letting me baptize you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that when you're baptized, your sin are remitted, and there are no remission without the blood. When you go down in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, the blood is applied. Music, you can come. Listen, if you don't think it's dangerous, I forgot my hanky and they gave me this little silk, dainty, girly thing. I couldn't suck up a draught of sweat. Thank you. And bring it up to me and say, this is all we have. Then don't bring it. I'm just kidding. I love every one of them. They're the greatest. If you don't think it's dangerous looking for a lion,
the power used that.
I should know better than to pick at them guys. They keep coming back. They used to be scared. They're not scared anymore. They just... And look into the life of Herod. Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Immediately, when this reached the ears of Herod, Jesus became a threat. For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was frightened that Jesus, this lion, this ruler, this conqueror, would come and take from him his throne, his power, his authority, his crown. And when he did that, he missed what Jesus really came to give him: eternal life, more power than he could ever imagine, to wear a crown of righteousness and to rule over many cities, the Revelations tells us. But you see, Herod, when you look for lions on thrones, you miss lambs in mangers. Let's stand. And the God that is here today is not the God to judge you. This is Easter. He went through a death, burial, and resurrection. Of course, we don't have time to go through the death. But he went through these things, not as a lion, as a lamb. Now, one day you will face the lion of the tribe of Judah. That day is coming. He will be a judge on a throne, and he will judge the dead and the living. And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But not today. No, sir. Every eye closed. Today, he's come to you as a God that shed his blood for your sins. Today, I ask you to put aside any pride or hindrances. Nothing is more important than being touched of the Lord. Every eye closed, just think for a moment while I speak. If you get tired, you can be seated, but if you can remain standing, please do. They drug that woman probably by her hair and her hands and her arms. She barely had time to grab just a little piece of clothing as they ripped her right off top of that man. Excuse the explicitness. They drug her out into the street. She was a harlot. She was caught right in the very act of adultery. Oh, the shame that covered her. as they drug her through the street naked as she tried to cover her body the best she could. And they threw her down at the feet of the one who they thought was the lion. Cast her down at the feet of the one that they thought would judge her. And they said, Jesus, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses, the law of the lion, says we are to stone her. What do you say? And he said, whichever one of you are without sin, you be the judge. You be the lion. You cast the stone. But as for me, I say, your transgressions are forgiven. Go and sin no more. That's the God that's in this place today. Sir, I'm asking you, let him touch your heart. Let him touch your heart today, Mom. Let him touch you today. I know you love him. I know you pray to him. I know he touches you. I know you walk with him. But you also know, sir, that you are bearing a heavy load, a very heavy load of sin that you cannot seem to shake. You cannot seem to get it off. And the Lamb of God, as John turned, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. They marched into the garden, expecting to find a lion. They brought shields and swords and weapons. But when they got there, he said, who do you seek? Why do you come with weapons? I'll go. Instead of finding a lamb or a lion, they found a lamb. I wonder what kind of weapons you came here today with. What kind of shields and swords? Expecting a line of judgment and condemnation. You bring your shield to shield you and your sword to defend you. But ever since you've walked into these doors today, you've heard about his blood. You've heard about his love, his compassion, his forgiveness, his mercy. I open these altars up today. I know it's Easter.
I know.
Brother Luma mentioned it earlier. But I'm not interested in having an Easter service. I'm interested in having the kind of church that the Lamb wants us to have. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that shed his blood for you, sir. Ma'am, he's the one that gave his life for you. And I open up these altars by the grace and mercy of God. With every mind on the Lord, I'm asking you, young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, Mom, Dad, I'm asking, put aside all your defenses. Put aside all of your excuses. None of those matter. We're not asking you to join this church. This has nothing to do with this local assembly. This has everything to do with the kingdom of God in your soul. This has everything to do with the fact that the Lamb of God is in this place and He loves you. Maybe there's somebody next to you that you would like to see them come and pray. Just offer to come to the altar with them. If they don't want to come, that's fine. You can pray with them there or come on your own. No pressure here. We just want you to know the Lamb's here. We want you to know the God that shed His blood for your sins is here. And that if you've come looking for a lion, He's not here. Instead, you found a Lamb. You come looking for someone that was going to tell you all about your sins and how wrong and how bad you are. But instead, we come to tell you there's a God that loves you. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's here to forgive you. But you don't know my temper, preacher. Hey, listen, there's tempers all over this building. But Jesus loves you. But you don't know what I've done, preacher. No, I don't. I don't want to know. And the good thing about it, God ain't going to tell me. But He knows. And He loves you anyway. And if you'll stretch your hand out to Him right now, no matter where you are, if you're in this altar, awesome. If you're not, where you're standing, just stretch your hand out to Him. And you'll begin to feel His love make His way down your fingers. Make His way through your hands and into your arms. Make His way from the top of your head. You'll feel His love make His way down into your heart and across your body. Oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. You can feel that old chin starting to quiver. Your heart starting to break. Tears are wanting to start flowing down your eyes. It's the love of God. It's the love of God. He loves you. The Lamb's here. The Lamb's here. He hasn't come to condemn you. He's come to love you. He hasn't come to cast you off. He's come to pull you in. Won't you let Him? Won't you let Him today? Won't you let Him touch you today? Let Him bless you today. Church, let's reach out to Him right now. Let's reach out to Him. As we worship the Lord in song, let's reach out to Him. Why don't you reach over and pray for a neighbor? Why don't you reach over and put your hand on the shoulder of your neighbor? Let's pray for one another. He's here to bless you.
By glory,
He's here to help you.
I realize just how beautiful you are, how great your affections are for me.
Hallelujah.
By the grace in His eyes, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth. earth like a beautiful kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, he loves us.
Oh, how he loves.
He loves us.
Oh,
never been baptized in Jesus' name, I encourage you to do it today. We have a baptistry right out that door. Water's warm. Ministry will line up and bury you in Jesus' name. You'll be so thankful you did. You've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to give you His Spirit. He died so that you could be endued with power from on high. He wants to abide in you. His glory is in this place. Let's lift our hands and pray to Him. Father, we love You. We thank You for this glorious service today. Thank You for ministering to us through the hands of praise, through the choir. Thank You for ministering to us, Lord, in prayer, in our worship, the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, Father, I pray the revelation would come. Send revelation to every man and woman in this building. Let something be born in them. Let a hunger be born in them to know You. Let Your grace and mercy go with us. Let Your goodness be upon us. And continue to draw into the kingdom of God as we lift You up, Father. Father. draw all men unto you. We love you and praise you, Father. We worship you, sweet Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for what he's done in the house. Oh, just a little more. Just hand clap of praise to him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you for joining us on our Easter Sunday. If you're praying, please continue to do so. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in the wonderful name of Jesus.
praise you for the blood. For the blood,
praise you for the blood.
Where would I be without your blood?
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing, what can wash away our sin? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood. Jesus.
What can wash us pure as snow?
What can wash us pure as snow?
Pure as snow.
What can wash us pure as snow?
Above
as the friend of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Nothing but your blood.
Sing nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the
King Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing, what can wash away us?